Well, hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's the 13th of September, 2021. Pleasure to have you here with us today, and I hope you enjoy today's show, which is really a good one. I love the topic. It's helping students to develop a positive math identity. And believe me, I never had one. All right, and I still suffer for that, and it's so important, and I love the way we're going to go into this with Lloyd Jones, who's an executive director over at our good friends at Curriculum Associates. They know what they're doing. And Lloyd is a National Board Certified teacher, by the way, and in his role at Curriculum Associates, he is well known across the country as a mathematics instructional materials genius, popular speaker, teacher favorite, etc. The guys, it's just so good to have him here, and this topic is just... So it's so important because too many kids, they have a negative math identity. So we're going to get into that and talk about how it relates to equity, too, which is, as you know, is what we're all about here. We're the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Everything we do is over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our home website, and you can go over there. Every podcast we've ever done, including this one, is archived over there. Our magazine is over there, which is an excellent online journal. You'll love it if you take the time to go, which is Equity and Access Pre-K-12 is the name of it. Just click right through. Everything we do over there is free for you at ace-ed.org. And we're just starting a new website tying equity to social-emotional learning, and that's called seltoday.org. We're still refining it, but it's pretty darn good, so we've decided to let people know about it at seltoday.org. So those are two websites, ace-ed.org and seltoday.org. Okay, check it all out. You really like it. And now, here's the one and only Lloyd Jones. Hi, Lloyd. Larry here.
Hey, how you doing, Larry? Can you hear me all right?
How you? Yeah, I'm doing okay, you know? Life is good. Where are you
today?
Good. Where are you?
I'm actually in North Carolina today. I'm meeting with three other NSO directors, too, talking about math discourse and different workshops we're going to be doing across the state. So.
Yeah, we are going to talk about math discourse today, and I love this topic. And
yeah.
How good are you at math? How good are you?
Everybody's good at math, Larry. they need to find their inner math being.
You got that right. You got that right, all right? Everybody always says, I can't do math. And when I say everybody, it's the colloquial everybody. But I'll say myself.
Yeah.
But the point is, what we have to say is, I need to work harder to be good at math. And here's my little speech, even though I'm terrible at math. Math is logic, okay? You know math, and if you can start to get the concepts of it and apply it, you're a logical person. It just makes sense. But kids give up
Fantastic.
Too soon. Hence, I'm going to steal your thunder here because it's been a sore point of mine for years. Okay, developing a positive math identity is a key. And that may even have to do with what I was talking about a minute ago, is a social-emotional approach to it, to give kids the confidence they need. Okay, I've said my speech. Okay. All right. I want you to how'd you get this? This is good that you're involved in this. I'll tell you, Lloyd. Okay. Too many people dance around it. It's this positive math identity we need. How'd you start thinking about this? Talk about math trauma and all this sort of thing. Lloyd Jones, everybody, from Curriculum Associates.
Thanks, Larry. Well, I'll tell you what, it actually started when I was teaching middle school mathematics. I taught middle school math for about 11 years in Buncombe County Schools, North Carolina, and I could see how students didn't feel confidence with mathematics. They would say, you know, I'm not a good math person. They would say these things. I don't have the math gene. I don't know if you ever heard that before.
Yeah.
My mom
the
or dad
gene.
Weren't good at math,
yeah.
So I'm not going to be good at math. Yeah. And early in my career, I just, oh, my God, it was so sad. I'd see these 12-year-olds coming to me and just being defeated, just feeling like they weren't getting it and they were never going to get it. And so I kept thinking, okay, how can we, first of all, build their confidence? Build the confidence that, yes, you can do this. It's got a lot of number sense, and we're going to get there. We're going to make sense out of the numbers. Because I think that's what's happened is this math trauma. You know, that's been around. And in a lot of places I go all 50 states, and I hear the things that you were saying. I'm not good at math. I'm not a math person. I hear that all the time, Larry.
It's terrible. But I want to ask you something. What you taught middle school, right? Okay,
yep.
I taught middle school.
Yeah, sixth
too.
Grade.
Okay, and it's good to teach middle school because you have the elementary school teachers to blame for everything. Just like the high school teachers have the middle school teachers to blame for everything. Okay, so it's good to teach that. I feel bad for the elementary school teachers. But I'm just kidding, elementary school teachers. You know
of course,
that. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Of course.
But I have to ask you this. How many you're going to die later. How many elementary school teachers have math trauma? Across the board, people are not that good at math. And when they're teaching math, God bless them, okay, that has to come across to a certain degree. And I think it came across with my team. Talk to me about this. Is that a challenge? Am I wrong or am I right? Is that a challenge?
No, it is a challenge. It's a whole confidence thing. And then sometimes I don't want to get into any upper-level mathematics because I'm not there. I don't have that number sense. And they do. That's, you know, there's such a different stigma of saying, culturally, it's okay to say I'm not good at math. In the United States, there are a lot of other countries that, you know, when you say that, it's okay. It's very different to say I'm not good at reading. So what I try to do is say,
by the way, I can't read
and
write. Let's go party. Let's go party. Nope. People won't say that all the time. Right. Yeah.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. But, yeah, it is. And it's not just elementary teachers. It's a lot of folks that I run into. So they don't feel like they have the speed. Because I think that's what's caused a lot of the math trauma. It's like, okay, how fast can you figure this out? And I think that's something that when I was taught school, you know, in the late 70s and the early 80s, kind of dating myself here, I was taught that you need to do these things quickly and efficiently, and that was what it was all about.
Wow.
And that can cause itself a lot of math trauma in itself. So.
Well, that's the old SATs, where they give you X amount of time to do the questions. I can't figure out why they even are using locomotives traveling in two different directions. The jet plane.
Yeah, exactly.
What's going on here?
Speed and accuracy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, that's what can cause a lot of mass trauma. And once you're not reaching those numbers and getting those things correct, and the poor children are looking around the room because they're not as fast at comprehending that stuff, which they might even be at an age or a place where they need to be this quick, you know, not emphasizing number speed, that's what causes a lot of the mass trauma. So what I spend my career doing is trying to help with this. Okay, how can we help build that confidence? How can we take a step back and really focus on the right things for mathematics? I mean, we all carry around cell phones. We all carry around calculators. So we've got those kinds of tools to help us. What we don't have is the ability to comprehend, make sense out of things. And that is so important when it comes to mathematics education.
Yeah, I haven't told this story. When I was in my freshman college mathematics course, the only one I had to take in college, and let me just state I was terrible at this, okay? But the guy was – I can't remember what the thing was, and we were doing something, and I was doing work at home that night, and I hadn't understood a word he said in class, all right? And I'm doing these problems, which I have no conceivable idea what he's talking about, and all of a sudden it clicked. And it was like one of these movies where like a beam from Mars comes and you can suddenly figure out everything. Okay? It clicked. And I got it. And then I tried it again the next day and I lost it. I couldn't get it back again, the logic of it. You know? And my point is that kind of thing builds and builds and builds. And it had been building in me since we first started doing what, when I was in school, was called arithmetic. Okay? Mm-hmm. The old word.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And and for some reason, you know, I remember I just go over this. I could do my times tables fairly well because I was a history teacher at some later in life. Okay? And I had a good memory. So I could memorize that 9 times 9 is 81. How about that?
Yeah.
I still remember that, okay? 9 times 9 is 81. Okay, ask me to explain that to somebody, I could never do it because it was memorization.
There you go. There you go. That's what it's all about, Larry. You nailed it right there. It's all about standing behind it. Yeah, so we've learned, and there's been lots and lots of research on this, is – Math facts. We'll just go there. We'll go with fluency.
Yeah,
I've been doing a lot of discussions and workshops with fluency. Math facts. You know, I hear from folks that my kids don't know their math facts. Okay, let's call that. What do we mean by that? Well, they're not as fast and efficient with their number facts, you know, say 1 to 12. And a lot of times I'll question folks. I say, well, do your kids know their twos? Oh, yeah, they know their twos. Oh, do they know their fives? Yeah, they know their fives. Okay, we're getting somewhere. And knowing benchmark facts and making sense out of and strategies on how to get the other facts is where finding is so, so important. That what you just said, actually, that understanding behind it is huge. That's 90% of it. The speed will come. The effectiveness and the efficiency will come. But what's hard is the making sense of it. In fact, when a lot of kids see a word problem and we're thinking, okay, they're going to struggle with fluency. A lot of times they're glancing at that word problem. They're looking just for the numbers in that word problem, and they're plucking those numbers out and trying to figure out to do something with them. But in the context of the problem, we really need to make sure we find out what is the problem about. Let's make sense of the problem. Let's figure this out before we start getting into the computation. That's the challenge. That's a difficult thing for students to do, and that's where the discourse comes in.
And I'm going to tell you something nuts. Just as you said the word context, I was writing the word context to ask you about that. Okay? I'm serious. I got it right here. Okay? I wrote the context.
I love talking to middle school people.
It's weird. Yeah. But it's true. To me, the math made no sense because it was taught in a vacuum. I couldn't see the, you know, everybody learns differently. This is the way I kind of think things through. Okay, but it had no sense to it in terms of why I needed this. It had no context. Okay, and I think too much math, maybe I'm wrong here or maybe I'm right, too much math is taught out of context. Okay, if we can start to understand, and then the logic comes. Okay, you have to put everything in, I'm struggling here together, but you have to put everything into context. And then things start to make sense, and the kids speak, well, let me, if I can understand social studies or English or science, I can understand this. Okay? I just have to know why
exactly
I'm trying
right.
to understand. And is this what you call mathematical discourse?
Yeah. Well, that's part of it. That's part of it. It's making sure that a good math problem, and thinking about equity, too.
Do all the
children you're talking to everybody that you're discussing with, when you provide a math problem, well, whatever the math problem is, does every child in that room have an entry point? Does every child in the room understand what the problem is actually about? Does every child understand the vocabulary in that problem? Once you establish those low thresholds, you want that low threshold approach for everybody to enter into that problem, then you can really start digging in. Once they have that context, once they understand what the problem is about, once they understand what all the numbers mean within that problem, then we can really have some great discussions. And I think one of the great things about this course that I've enjoyed over my entire teaching career is when I watch children discussing with each other, that peer-to-peer interaction, asking the right mathematical questions to each other because it's part of a habit. They form that mathematical habit of questioning each other and defending their strategies, coming up with justification. That's when I get all warm and fuzzy inside, Larry. When I'm in a room and I'm silent and I'm watching my classes, I'm watching whatever, if I'm working with kids, if I'm working with teachers, when I see that happening and I'm not saying anything, now we've reached our goals. Oh, now
exactly.
We're getting somewhere. And they're all going through. And it brings joy to my heart when I've got that child that sometimes hasn't always found an entry point, actually discussing the context of the problem that we just presented. So.
And actually, I'm going to ask you that. When you said, Lloyd, when they get to that point where they're asking the right mathematical question, okay, and again, you're talking to me here, and we're talking to everybody, so I speak for the world, obviously. What is the right mathematical – give me an example of the right mathematical question.
Can you
explain
this
further to me? I don't mean that as to be as stupid as it sounds.
No, not at all. Can you explain this problem further to me? You know, why did you choose that strategy? How did you approach this problem? Instead of just asking the baseline questions of, the general questions we need to get out of the way at the very beginning, which they do, and that a lot of times involves the teacher, the making sense part of it. But when the child's justifying their answers, it's like, I don't understand this part of your solution. And it doesn't happen overnight, Larry, too. That takes some training. It takes – kids don't enter the classroom even early on. I'm talking pre-kindergarten, kindergarten level. They don't always know the right questions to ask. So a lot of the discussions I have with educators is helping model and having those discussions with students at the beginning and then turning it over to them so they can start asking the same types of questions, making sense of the math, digging deeper into their justifications. And what's neat is when they start seeing how their strategy compares to their peers' strategies on solving whatever problem, that's when the ownership starts to happen. That's when they feel that the comprehension part of the solution, that's what sticks. That's when you got the math facts. The memorization, like you said, that doesn't stick. What sticks is when they understand the reasoning and the why behind it. That's what produces great mathematicians. And that's when they start having that positive mathematical identity. When they start feeling good about their solution,
exactly.
They start seeing the why, it's good things happen and it gets better. And I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in my classrooms when I've worked with students who have struggled for years and they entered into my classroom and it would start out rough. I had to do a lot of modeling, and there's so many great teachers out there doing the same kinds of things. But then once you get into it and you get into deeper level problems, these students just take off, and it sticks, and it does just improves everything.
It really does, and, you know, it brings up one of my favorite things, which is the word rigor, okay, and high expectations. Yep. You look at a kid, if people looked at me, and they told me to do a math problem, I would become in 1968, I would become the biggest idiot. They'd think I was an absolute moron, okay?
No.
Because I couldn't do it, and expectations would be lowered, all right? And that's not good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
not
what we
feel bad
do.
For me.
Yeah.
I've done just fine. Okay, that's not my point. My point is I'm one of 500 billion kids who went through this. All right.
Yeah.
And it's harmful. Okay. And it's a low expectation thing. And I'll tell you, Lloyd, stop me if I already told this or whatever. Okay. And I had the same math teacher by coincidence at a giant high school for 3 years in a row. All right. And I was promoted each time, by the way. But let me tell you the way he taught. He would talk. He would do chapter two. He'd do chapter two of geometry, okay? You know, in 4 days, and on Friday he'd give us a test. This is all college-bound kids. The average grade was a 40. All right, you ready? He would now mark on a curve, so we all got an 80.
Mm.
Okay, and then you know what he did? He went on to chapter three.
Mm.
Okay, so in other words, nobody
went
to chapter two. Everybody's now going to pretend 80, and now we're going on to chapter three. So how well do you think we did on chapter three? Okay.
Now, hey, I'm laughing, but I'm so thankful that our medical professional
kind of
got graded on a curve out there.
it's just a moron, and which brings up, okay, the next point. Data.
Yeah.
All right. Here this guy had data. The data said, I'm not a very good teacher, by the way. Okay, so he decided to ignore the data, okay, and throw the blame on us. All right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. You know, so at any rate, this is a long time ago. This is we wore togas.
Yeah,
that's how long ago it was. Not even sandals. They hadn't been invented. All right? So now, he's throwing the blame on us. I want to talk to you about data, okay?
Yeah.
How do we use data to make sure that we give kids the right image, give them the right identity to understand math? Go, Lloyd Jones, go.
Yeah, so much has changed over the past few years. Just to
but
get
it's been 2,000 years
since
I was in high school. I look good.
But the thing with with the latest tools out there, these adaptive diagnostics and things like that I work with, you know, what's so wonderful is we're able to identify where the students may have some gaps, some places where they're struggling. And what the teachers are able to do now, which, oh, my gosh, if I had had this when I was teaching in 96, 97, to be able to accelerate some of those gaps and accelerate the learning in those gaps before I get to my grade-level instruction. Because when I was teaching sixth-grade mathematics, for example, I was hired by the state of North Carolina to teach sixth-grade grade-level content. But what would happen was I would have kids coming in that were not there yet. They were missing, had different gaps, and and the 25, 30 students in my classroom would be in all different places.
Right.
With data, with some adaptive diagnostics, what the beautiful thing about that is it's able to identify those places very quickly. And so I, as a teacher, can work with those students either individually or in small groups to accelerate some of that learning. So then when I do get to my grade level content, that is rigorous, that the sixth grade or seventh grade or whatever grade you're teaching, content is rigorous, the students have those entry points. They have the ability to be part of the discussion. And that's where the data can just, oh my gosh, it can be so meaningful, because before when I was teaching, I didn't see those gaps. I would have to try to figure it out through the conversation, which would take away from my grade level instruction. And it's just very difficult to do. So now with the data, I get compliments all the time from the educators I work with, of saying, oh my gosh, this thing, I had no idea that this child was struggling in this. I can identify it quickly, address it. Then we can have an even better discussion when we get to my grade level instruction. They love it. It's a lot of fun.
It's really so important. And where's this? I want to ask you this, Lloyd. Where is the sweet spot in developing a positive math identity? And the reason I'm saying that is because the things I'm talking about where I really discovered how bad I was in math, I'm just using that as a colloquial phrase, was in junior high, seventh grade, this is back then, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, then into high school. It kept getting worse and worse and worse. My question is, today, 2021, where do we need to see where a child is, the first part, the sweet spot, so we can begin to build on that? Is it first grade? Is it preschool? Is it eighth grade? Well, tell me, where is it? We can't let that happen.
Yeah, all of the above. All of the above. We only have these children once. I don't want to start any one place because we only have these children one time. And so if it's eighth grade this year, well, that's where we need to start if they don't have that positive identity. If it's kindergarten, a child just coming into school, we need to start right there. The earlier, the better, of course. The sweet spot is where we can help the child immediately. One of the things that keeps me up at night is every year we graduate students who don't have a positive identity. So in my career, my lifetime, how can I help as many kids as possible create that positive identity? How can I help them feel like they can do mathematics no matter what position they choose, whatever career they choose? I mean, for example, my wife all the time tells me she's not good at math. And she is a professional quilter. She does more math every day than I
thank you.
Day.
Yes, exactly.
And she is a good at math. And I keep telling her, no, you are fantastic at mathematics. And she, well, I'm not fast at it. I keep telling her, that's not what it's about. It's not about the speed. You are so good at making sense of these patterns and these gorgeous things that happen every single day. And that's what I want for children. Every day I want to graduate more and more students who feel like they can do the mathematics in whatever field, whether it's engineering, whether it's arts, whether it's education, whatever it is, that they can approach any type of situation, a mathematical problem or not, and have the confidence that they can approach that problem and come up with some kind of solution. I mean, that's huge. That's
huge.
Every day that we
that's huge. And you
child
know,
that doesn't have that, ugh, yeah, it kills
me. Yeah, your anecdote about your wife is perfect. Okay, how much math goes into making a quilt? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
How much math goes into a recipe? How much math goes into sewing a new blouse? Knitting a new sweater, just these simple, mundane things. Okay, how much math goes into it? And the point is, we don't teach that context. A simple point, the math teacher never, take it colloquial here, the math teacher doesn't coordinate with the home ec teacher or family studies, whatever they call that now.
Yeah.
Okay, but the two are combined. The two are combined.
And it's getting better.
That's
I see that happening
point.
All the time, though. I do see that some of the most fantastic teachers I meet every day are doing those things. They are meeting with the science teacher, the social studies, the
home ec. It's all interdisciplinary.
Yeah, it's it's such a beautiful thing. When I visit these districts, every district I visit, you know, good things are happening. And I see, when I get the chance to be in the classrooms and see what the teachers are doing, I am blown away because they're in the same mindset. We've got to put these things in context. We've got to help these kids have that positive mathematical identity wherever they come from, whatever their home life is like, whatever they, you know, had or didn't have for breakfast, whatever, you know, whatever they're coming to us and for that day, how can we help them have a good day in mathematics? And I see that all the time.
What a nice thing to do. That's the way to start a day, I got to tell you. Talk to me.
Yeah.
You were my good friends, and everybody likes curriculum associate, so I'm not worried about doing this, okay? Curriculum associate, everybody likes them. Nobody has anything bad to say about
great
curriculum.
Great company.
Everybody likes them.
Great
it
company.
Is. It really is. Okay? I mean that.
Yeah, I love them.
Okay? They're great people. All right, you too. All right? So my point is, knowing all this, and they have you shackled, I'm sure, to your desk 8 hours a day, okay? Okay? Think of something good, okay? What is curriculum associate specifically? With all the things we talked about here, how are they creating materials and programs and resources that take all the things we've talked about here into consideration and creating a math program that helps kids develop a positive math identity? Just be specific. Math curriculum associates. Go ahead.
Sure.
Shameless
so one of the,
plug.
I've been with the company.
Shameless
for,
plug.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've been with the company for 7 years and I absolutely love every day working with curriculum associates. And one of the reasons I joined the company was how the data, like you were talking about data earlier, how that drives the instruction. And then once you get to that instruction, how giving those students those entry points into just great problem-solving materials. So one of the things we're obsessed with our program is it's iReady Classroom Mathematics.
Sure.
And
yep.
One of the things we're obsessed with the program is those great rigorous mathematical problems, you know, at the grade level content and using data from our iReady adaptive diagnostics to find those entry points for every child in the classroom. And then once we get them into those problems, you know, helping teachers with routines, with ways to help students make sense out of the math and then have those discussions with each other. So at the end, they can apply it to other problems. That's what it's all about, you know, all the K instruction.
Is.
And when I see, when I work with the product development, when I work with teachers, oh my gosh, when I see how it's working in the classroom, how the routine, we've got different routines. Try, discuss, connect is one of them to help make sense, have the students discuss, make those connections at the end. It just brings joy to my heart. When you see something that you're so involved in and so obsessed with and you think about it all the time, when you see that working, when you see those light bulbs going off and you see the light bulbs sticking. So one of the things you said earlier, too, is that, you know, you had it one day, you lost it the next day.
That's right.
And one of the things that we strive for is let's have it that one day and let's have those light bulbs go off. But let's have those same light bulbs going off the next day and the next day and the next day and building and building and building. That's why I love what I do. And that's why, you know, working with teachers and talking about different ideas, it's so much fun, Larry.
It's the best. And that day, I'll tell you, when the light bulb went off that day, everything made perfect sense about what I was doing. It was so clear that I couldn't grab it back
wonderful.
Again. It was really weird. When I think about it, this was a long time ago. I nailed it. I got it. It made perfect sense. I probably went out, had a beer, came back, and then could never get it back again. Made no sense whatsoever. So it was like some kind of beam from outer space. I put this up a little bit before, Lloyd, but I just wanted to ask you this, and this is a real challenge these days. Everybody's talking about social-emotional learning, okay?
Yeah,
that seems to be a big deal. I know my friends at CA, you guys are talking about it too.
But to me,
trying to develop a positive math identity to a kid, I'm getting pretty specific here, there's a lot of social-emotional learning in that. In other words, you've got to teach a kid to be resilient, to be confident, and all those words that we use with SEL.
Yeah.
Can you just kind of put SEL and math together? Maybe I just did it, but you can simply agree with me, or you can talk about it from like
a
smart person like you are. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I want children to see is it's okay to make mistakes. And that's so important when you think about their social emotional learning, is it's okay not to have the answer. It's okay that when you do figure out what the problem's asking, you don't have an idea of what to do next. And that's where it's okay to feel that way. Some days are better than others, you know, and I think the more students can be confident that they, all we're asking them is to try the problem out. All we're asking is to come up with different strategies. And it is okay not to be correct. It's okay not to have an idea what's going on. You know, especially right now, this year, oh, God bless our teachers out there. They're just so this year is just another tough year, just like last year. And we've got students coming to the classroom with so many things going on that don't have anything to do with mathematics. So the more we can make them comfortable with those discussions, to keep that joy alive during that math time, the better off we're all going to be. So attending to, you know, their needs before we get into the problem-solving experience, attending to once we're in there, it being okay to get some things wrong, I think that just benefits every child during mathematics class.
Yeah, it all comes together. It all comes together. And it's just so important. And for too long, we let it go. With math in particular, that's my thing, okay? All right.
Yeah, we're not robots. Children aren't robots out there, yeah.
Yeah, we got to, you know, it would have made a big difference to me had this been done properly, but we're talking a long time ago. And that's why for kids today, and for teachers, they have to understand, I can be good at math, I can teach this, I can teach it with confidence, mm-hmm. and I can give that to the kids. And I'll tell you, it's products like Curriculum Associates that allow them to be able to do it.
I hope it's helping. That's my career.
It's helping.
Right there.
It's exactly.
Really helping
yes, it
out.
Is.
I'm seeing great things happening. Yeah, just so many great teachers out there, and just so many good things happening. Yeah, getting better and better every year. They've got a tough job ahead of them this year.
Yeah, and it's all you've got the data behind it that makes sense. It's good stuff.
Yep.
Everybody, as I said before, everybody likes Curriculum Associates. Everybody likes Curriculum Associates. That could be your tagline. Okay. There's no.
I love
you,
it.
There's. No, I mean, I have talked to just people like going down to a conference. Okay, and I'll talk to somebody next to me in education, and they'll start talking. All of a sudden, they'll bring up curriculum and say, "Oh, my kid used this thing called iReady." And this has actually happened several times. It's unbelievable. Okay,
no,
these people
great.
Are.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
This validates everything
stuff.
We do because that's what we're obsessed with is not only the online instruction but the paper-based math instruction, the data, everything. It's great. That's
yeah. I'll tell you, it's both anecdotal. It supports everything you guys do and formal data. I mean, it's just you do so well, Lloyd. This was great. It went too fast. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, I just looked at the clock. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, 30 minutes.
We're done. That was your 15 minutes of fame are over. I hope you enjoyed it. There you go. Okay.
That was so much fun. Thank you so
it
much.
Is
there.
Fun.
Really
thank you,
it.
Sir. All right. Have a good day.
All right, have a good day.
Take care. Be
you
safe
too,
down there. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. And by the way, but Lloyd at the end was, for some reason, was calling me sir, which is a Southern thing. I have never been knighted, Larry. Okay. Well, Sarah's not bad. I do carry a sword and usually ride to work on a horse with the armor. Sir Larry. Okay. Just kidding you, Lloyd. It was great to have you on, my friend. The Curriculum Associates, CAINC.com. Just check it out. They tweet at Curriculum ASSOC. All right. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org like we always do and check out SELToday.org too. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.